lot of music fans were introduced to Jenny Lewis during her stint as part of the popular indie rock band Rilo Kiley back in the early aughts. The Los Angeles band's popularity grew steadily as Lewis's voice became more and more of the focal point of the Rilo Kiley sound. They eventually landed a major label deal before splitting up. Lewis's first solo album is the thing that made me a fan of the 38-year-old singer and songwriter. That album was called Rabbit Fur Coat, and it was a revelation when it came out in the winter of 2006. It included musical contributions from the likes of Conor Oberst and M. Ward. But what really struck me was Lewis's amazing voice, harmonizing along with the singing sisters, the Watson Twins. When Lewis came through Salt Lake City on a Rabbit Fur Coat tour, her show at Kilby Court was incredible, a high-energy gig featuring some amazing musicianship, rarely found in many of the indie and punk bands that play at the All Ages Club. Lewis's second solo album didn't hit me quite the same way, but she has a brand new collection of songs released at the end of July that has reminded me how much I love her work. The new album is called The Voyager, and its sunny sound belies some of the dark sentiments in the lyrics, many of them reflecting on the death of her father and the demise of her old band. One of my favorites on Jenny Lewis's new album is the first single and video, which she directed herself. It's called Just One of the Guys. No matter how hard I try to be just one of the guys, there's a little something inside that won't let me. Jenny Lewis headlines at the Depot in Salt Lake City on Tuesday. For more information, visit DepotSLC.com. There are many more great shows coming up in the next week. Trombone Shorty and Galactic are joining up to bring some New Orleans sound to Utah with a show at Redview Garden on Sunday. Deer Tick, easily one of the best young rock bands out there, are playing at the Urban Lounge on Wednesday night, and Beck and Future Island share a bill at the Twilight Concert Series in Pioneer Park on Thursday. For KUER's Books and Beats, I'm Dan Nayland.
For Books and Beats, I'm Betsy Burton. A Consuming Story of Love, The Great Glass Sea by Josh Weil, chronicles not romance, but the enduring love between twin brothers. He does so in a fat, far-reaching tale, possessed of a narrative sweep that mimes the Russian novels on which it is modeled, the passion that is their hallmark. Demi and Yerrick, who've existed almost as one since birth, sleep in the same bed, set off together on wordless adventures, complete each other's thoughts, one another's dance steps, until the time, in young manhood, when Yerrick falls in love. From this point forward, Yerrick walks away from his brother, first into his new family and a new job, then into a changed view of the world and of what drives humankind, what really matters. When the novel opens, the world the brothers inhabit is, despite the Soviet Union's disintegration, the old Russia. Peasants farm the land, albeit collectively, grow food, create family and community in a timeless way. Although in reality, rural community hardly equates with rural bliss, this is a novel of the near future, not the past. The invention of a system of mirrors, a great glass sea that transmits light so that night never falls, not only furthers Russia's ravening capitalism, but takes it to a whole new level of productivity. Suddenly, everyone works 7 12-hour shifts a week, convinced they're building for the future. No one has time for leisure, for thinking, for art. Ironically, art does exist, not only in memory, but in the stunning beauty of the luminescent panels, an interconnected beauty rivaling that of the domes and spires of the czars. As one brother reaches ever higher in this new world, the other rebels against it. Yet their mysterious bond seems unbreakable, even as it strains. Futurist by nature, The Great Glass Sea is very much about our time, or our lack of time, and what that lack does to all of us. It sheds much-needed light on what is fast becoming the central issue of our age, showing us in the process that light, or the technology for which it serves as metaphor, has the ability to illuminate or to blind us.